Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 185. My name is John. Done. Done. On to the next one. I've covered the topic of Superman's movies quite a bit recently. It actually started in podcast number 103. Then again in 165, and just a few months ago in 180, to either discuss the Snyder movies or compare and contrast them to other iterations. Feel free to check those out, even though I find I do repeat myself quite a bit. But here we are, just a couple of weeks before the release of Superman, kicking off James Gunn's new DC movie universe. Of course, it already had kind of a soft opening with Creature Commandos, and season one of Peacemaker and Blue Beetle may still be sort of canon to it, but who knows. I used to look forward to comic book movies. I used to think when I was at a comic book movie, I was surrounded by other people who wanted to see these characters on the big screen. Even if some fans felt the movie was lacking in some places, they would still appreciate it. After Watchmen, Green Lantern, and Justice League, there were people in the theater who cheered. So even though there were definitely flaws in all of those movies, people were still happy to see them. I would go to see other movies, and trailers for comic book movies would play, and at the end, there would be a buzz in the crowd. People excited, talking about wanting to see that movie when it came out. I went to see Mission Impossible Final Reckoning a couple weeks ago. That was last podcast, by the way. And before the movie, the trailers played for both Superman and the new Fantastic Four movie. After each of those trailers ended, there was dead silence. Nobody turned to the person next to them and whispered about the movie. Nobody seemed to have any interest in either of them. How did we get to this? Well, let's go back, not all the way back to the beginning of live-action superheroes, but back to where most people think about when discussing comic books in live action. What's your favorite live action Batman? Yeah, ask different people, you'll get different answers, and they'll have some pretty good reasoning behind their decision. But even nearly 60 years later, you will still find people whose favorite Batman is Adam West. When Tim Burton made his iconic movie in the late 80s, believe it or not, there were a lot of people who were initially disappointed that it didn't star or at least mirror the Adam West Batman from the 1960s. I personally remember back then my friend's older brother, who had spent time in Los Angeles trying to become a filmmaker, was complaining, absolutely angry, that it wasn't going to be like the 60s television Batman because, he said, and I quote, "That's the real Batman." He even claimed that he had spoken to Burt Ward, who was also upset about it for the same reason. Is he right? Is the Adam West Batman the real Batman? The answer is no, but also a little bit yes. Due to government and societal pressure, DC and almost all of the other comic book companies sanitized and homogenized their superheroes to make them more acceptable to what is perceived to be their target audience, children. That is why the Batman adventures of that era always included weird things like Batmite, journeys into outer space, outlandish premises, villains being more of a nuisance than sociopathic, and Robin always being the well-behaved sidekick. Now, that was all well and good for that era, but that's not how Batman was in his early years in the comics. Nor is it how he has been from the 70s up till today in the comics. So, yeah, it's Batman for that era. But overall, no, it's not Batman. There's more to Batman than just the Adam West TV show. In the same way, folks, there's so much more to Superman than just the Christopher Reeve movies. Even though they were a little more mature than the Adam West Batman show, they were still kind of campy. And they pulled heavily from that sanitized Comics Code era. I would submit those movies were good for that time, but they're not necessarily indicative of who Superman is in the comic books. The character has been so much more fleshed out in the comics. I have a theory that people who look to Reeves' Superman as the best are people who are fine with a Superman who is noble and honorable simply for the sake of honor and nobility. And if that's good enough for you, that's okay. But for me, it's boring. I find a Superman who makes mistakes, has to learn from them, and who grows into that nobility and honor, and who takes the time to consider exactly how he should or should not interfere in human lives, far more interesting. A being of that kind of power ought to be introspective. That is why I enjoyed the Henry Cavill Superman and feel Man of Steel was a breath of fresh air. Additionally, Reeves' Superman is not as noble as people remember. I'm not going to recount everything I discussed in the past, but you can check out podcast number 180 for the details. Oh, and this one does bear repeating. Christopher Reeve Superman gave up his powers and the ability to help people in danger just so he could fuck Lois Lane. Now, my only purpose with this is to take the same arguments that people use to bash Henry Cavill Superman and apply them to Christopher Reeve's Superman. As I have said many times before, I like them both, even though I prefer Cavill. And I really don't have any malice at all towards Christopher Reeve's Superman. I still like the movies. I really don't care whether or not he saved his dad or killed the Kryptonian villains or let the people in the town below the dam die because he was saving Lois instead. That doesn't really matter. Those are fun movies. I like them. I just happen to prefer the Cavill Superman. I don't really care if you prefer Christopher Reeve. In fact, I know that Dominica Saxon on X prefers Reeve. And I have no problem with that. Because neither of us insults the other over it. I know that Christian Blatt prefers Reeve. And he and I can have a discussion about it on his podcast and respect each other's point of view. It's kind of like with my political opinions. I don't care if you believe something different from me. What I care about is when you think I must capitulate to your opinion and you insult me for having mine. I'm not going to take that shit. And I shouldn't have to. I will fire back. Anyway, getting back to the topic, there are things I just don't need anymore in Superman movies. I don't need Clark Kent to be outlandishly klutzy and nerdy. I don't need him to be a super Boy Scout. I sure as fuck don't need that spit curl in his hair. I don't need to see him fly into space, smile at the camera, and fly off towards the rising sun. I don't need to hear the John Williams score. Different Superman, different continuity, different musical score. I don't need to be reminded of Christopher Reeve's Superman. I don't need the underwear on the outside. That's a callback to circus performers from over a century ago, and the modern costumes without it just look better. I don't need the symbol on his chest to be the Kryptonian symbol for hope. I went into detail on that in podcast 180. What I do need is the symbol on his chest to look like an S. I did not like that style when it was used in Kingdom Come or in DC 1 Million, and I certainly don't want to see it in a live-action movie. I decided not to watch the final trailer for the upcoming movie. I saw what I think was the first few seconds, with Lois and Clark being argumentative and frustrated with each other. At that point, I just decided I didn't want to see any more until the movie opens. I did watch the trailer for the second season of Peacemaker, not knowing that included a few clips featuring the Justice League, and of course, those characters are going to be in the Superman movie. But I just stopped with the trailers because at this point, I'm concerned about this new Superman. Now, this was an offhand comment in the previous podcast, but I want to bring it back up. James Gunn makes big-name superhero projects the same way Aerosmith made 90s power ballads. Now, I know I probably pissed off some classic rock aficionados who will tell me that they are not similar, but I'm kind of riffing off that old Saturday Night Live skit here. No matter how good it is, if you keep doing the same thing over and over, people will take notice and get tired of it. Unless you're Disney, then you can crap out whatever turd you want and people will still buy it. I liked The Suicide Squad, mostly. I liked Peacemaker, mostly. I like Creature Commandos, some episodes far more than others. But by the time that first season wrapped, I was getting tired of hearing the same old proverbial song. I have to say it one more time. James Gunn is great at writing characters who are assholes, or morally ambiguous, or mentally unstable, or an imbecile. They do or say something stupid or outlandishly violent to varying degrees of humor. At some point, we're given a reason why each character is so messed up, and it's usually due to someone who is just as much an asshole or morally ambiguous or mentally unstable, but without any humor or tragic backstory. Even Guardians of the Galaxy is the same. It's just been filtered and Disney-fied in order to please the rodent overlord. Sometimes, Gunn takes a serious character from the comics and turns him into a joke. In the comics, Weasel is a costumed sociopath, getting revenge on former classmates who teased him in school. In the movies, he's some twisted Bill the Cat creature wrongfully accused of killing children, but he's comic relief whenever he's ripping somebody into shreds. In the comic books, Vigilante is a tragic tale of a district attorney who snaps and goes after bad guys, slowly losing his moral compass and becoming the very thing he was trying to stop, until he realizes what he's become and takes his own life. In the TV show, he's an inept starfucker desperate to hang out with Peacemaker. In the comics, Crypto the Superdog epitomizes man's best friend. Smart, empathetic, the kind of dog any pet owner would be proud to have. In the trailer for his first live-action movie, he's a stupid mutt who can't even comprehend that his owner is injured and in pain. The trailer was the first time I ever hated Crypto. I'm a cat person, but I love Crypto the Superdog. Hell, I love all of the Legion of Super Pets. Not the movie from a couple of years ago, although that movie is a better representation of Crypto than the mutt in the trailer. Seriously, go and read the fantastic two-issue story, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, and you'll understand what a comics-accurate Crypto is supposed to be. Also, one of the top 10 saddest moments in comic book history. Now, I'd use those examples as a segue to discuss the inaccuracy of Guy Gardner, but I think I covered that enough in Podcast 180. I still stand by that I'm going to try to trust that Nathan Fillion can pull this off, but after seeing the clip of him in the Peacemaker Season 2 trailer, I really hope they didn't do that stupid bowl haircut just so they could crack jokes about it. I do think that the only reason Guy Gardner is there to begin with is because Gunn needs that asshole character to bounce everything off of. It wouldn't surprise me if Hawk Girl is similar to the rude, angry version from the Justice League cartoon. I also covered in Podcast 180 how the Justice League costumes are more reminiscent of the Terrifics, so I won't go into detail here. I will say I haven't seen enough of Mr. Terrific or Hawk Girl to really comment on those individual characters, so I'm still hoping for the best from them. In that Peacemaker trailer, there are some brief clips of Gardner and Hawk Girl teasing each other, making fun of each other. This is, of course, reminiscent of the Keith Giffen era of the League, when he and J.M. DeMatteis wrote character-driven stories and dialogue that brought a ton of humor to the team. And I get the feeling that Gunn's humor will be more mean-spirited, but I hope not. Then there's the question of why there are so many superheroes in what is supposed to be a solo Superman movie. I mean, do you remember how Batman vs. Superman was criticized for having too many characters in it? Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman? That's too much. He's overloaded the movie. Now, all these heroes in it? That's the best thing ever. I've observed two camps of people who just hate the Snyderverse. The first is certain Christopher Reeve fans. Not all of them, but a loud minority who think that version is the end-all, be-all of Superman. I've already given my opinion that people with that view are clouded with nostalgia. But more to the point, and I really hate to have to say this, those movies are done. There will be no more. It's impossible. I mean, sure, we'll probably get to a point where you could make an AI movie with Reeves' image, but it's not gonna be the real thing. You have to accept that it's over and be thankful that you have those movies that you do have, because they are still out there. And I think that's kind of what the end of Flash was trying to do. As much as I disliked that movie overall, and as bad as the CGI was, they were showing us that all those iterations are still out there. They're still part of the DC multiverse. You can still get to them. And yeah, Zack Snyder fans have a problem too. They're becoming like the Christopher Reeve fans. The Snyderverse will never come back. I don't think Snyder or any of the actors would even want to return after all the crap they've had to deal with. Stop with the Restore the Snyderverse. Just be thankful that we got his vision of the Justice League movie. And yeah, to me, Man of Steel is peak Superman so far. I carry on about the flaws of Reeves' Superman, not because I don't like the movies, but because I am turning the tables on those fans by applying the same criticism of their preferred Superman that they apply to Henry Cavill. I mean, seriously, if you hate the Snyder films because you love the Reeve movies, take all your criticisms of Henry Cavill Superman and apply them as you rewatch the theatrical releases of Superman 1 and 2. Okay, before I get too far off course, the second group that doesn't like the Snyderverse is a loud contingent of people who just hate Zack Snyder. They don't like his color palette, they don't like his visual style, and I think they don't like that he weaves a little bit of objectivism into his scripts. His Superman refuses to cooperate with the government and tells them they can't control him. His Superman does what he thinks is right, not what the pundits and the politicians think is right. He doesn't capitulate to the collective. And that's just not a popular modern sentiment. So now we have the pro-gun crowd, James Gunn, who are this weird amalgam of people who absolutely hate Zack Snyder and believe Gunn is going to restore Superman to its quaint Christopher Reeve charm. In Podcast 180, I touched on a lot of things in the trailers that were eerily similar to Snyder's movies. I think the people who want to return to Reeve are going to be disappointed. They may get some hollow fan service, but not much more. I think this is going to be a nice little, perfectly vanilla Superman adventure sprinkled with snarky dialogue and forced humor. Not because I'm cynical or because I want it to fail, but because that is Gunn's style, and that is what Warner Brothers executives and audiences demand based on what they got from the MCU. Now, just as an aside, I actually do have a conspiracy theory that James Gunn is taking themes and story beats from the Zack Snyder movies and redoing them in a Christopher Reeve aesthetic. Gunn is actually very vocally supportive of Snyder's work, and I just can't shake this feeling he's making some meta-commentary with this movie. It's highly unlikely, but I would love to be right about that. I don't want DC to fail. I want these characters I grew up with to succeed in movies. I didn't want Flash or Wonder Woman 84 to be horrible. I didn't want the Justice League theatrical release to be a studio-ordered mashup of two directors' visions. I didn't want Batman vs. Superman to make $875 million and still be called a flop. For that matter, I didn't want Superman Returns to be a dull rehash, or Joel Schumacher to ruin the Batman franchise. But what do I have to work with so far from what's been shown of the upcoming movie? Metamorpho is one of my favorite B-list characters. and he's going to be played by one of my favorite character actors. And right now, he is the one reason I want to go see this movie. It appears, though, that he's working for Lex Luthor. Now, if he's a dim-witted henchman, I'm going to be mad. If he doesn't switch sides and become a hero, I'm going to be pissed. Gunn has already fucked with Vigilante and Crypto. I don't think I would appreciate him mangling another character I like just because casual fans and non-comics readers are not familiar with them. The rest, I'm pretty neutral on. I haven't seen enough of Mr. Terrific or Hawkgirl to form an opinion. It feels like I've seen 10 times more scenes of Superman severely injured or getting slapped around in battle than I have of him talking, so I don't know what to expect. I'm hoping for the best from Nathan Fillion and Nicholas Holt. So I have one positive, Metamorpho, and one negative, Crypto. And the rest, neutral, but kind of skewing underwhelming. The deciding factor really comes down to the fact that it's a DC movie. I'm going to go see this movie when it comes out. Probably on day one, maybe even show one. But it's really just to get it over with, just to finally see what is it going to actually be. I'm not confident. So, I'm going to try very hard to go back to my default of what I always do when I go to the movies, and I would like for you to try it with me. Now let me explain. I got into comics in the last few years before Crisis on Infinite Earths. I was used to the concept of different Earths, different continuities, and nuances that made each one unique. When I go into a movie about a comic book character, I see it as one of those alternate universes. I'm not expecting it to conform exactly to a specific comic book or storyline. I know that it's going to be different. I expect it to be different. I look to see if it works on its own. Most of the time, it's at least acceptable, if not successful. But sometimes it fails miserably. For example, Catwoman. When I pay money for a ticket to a movie, I want that movie to be good. I want my time and my money to be worth it. So when I watch a movie, I look for things that I like. Now, I will admit there is a flaw in that kind of thinking, because when I first come out of a movie, I usually focus a little too much on the positive. And I give it higher marks than it deserves, and I have to adjust it as I consider it as a whole. But on the other hand, I'm not clouded by cynicism and miss good things, even though they may be a small part of the overall movie. Can you do that with me? Can you set aside the other iterations of Superman for just a couple of hours? Just take this movie as a new and separate continuity. Can you look for positive things, even if overall you don't like it? Can you give it just a little bit of time before you compare it to other versions? Just start by looking at it on its own. Best case scenario, I come back next podcast relieved that I was wrong, and James Gunn did a good job. Worst case scenario, I might come back in a couple of weeks and might tell you my worries were justified and I didn't like the movie. Time will tell. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.